of course.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Stephanie, she's on her way to walk over.
But it's all good. We all, everything we said was
what's
good.
What's going on this morning, because you told Jen, is not good. It's worth potentially $4 million, well, minimum of $500,000 plus another $25,000 for our school, and potentially $4 million at risk.
Ooh.
This also happened last night, and the worst thing is, I'll just give you 30 seconds, because we may be doing a story on this. We were chosen by this group here in the community to administer this major initiative called Ceasefire Chicago. That's where it began, and there are programs that have been replicated, modeled on this in a few communities. It's not throughout the nation, and never in every major city. Is it an effective program? The evaluation is yes, it is very effective. The important thing about it is our school, and I think you'll see by some of the things here, it's very community engaged, and this is where we picked to do this. And this is a $4 million initiative spearheaded by Malcolm Smith, who is now as a leader of eight communities, one of which is Albany. And then we had negotiations, discussions with them last week with regard to being then the administrator of the whole statewide program, so not just the city of Albany, but the $4 million worth. And we have Ceasefire Chicago coming for a 2-day visit tomorrow with meetings, you know, all day long tomorrow, all day long Thursday, and a coalition community meeting out in the public on Thursday night, which has been, you know, they expected 100 to 200 people. So it's like, you know, do you have Chicago come? Why would they come? You know, people in the media is going to start asking questions about, you know, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, the leader is defrocked. Do you really think in your heart that you're going to make the money? Politically, we may be able to, because there may be some Democratic senators that were behind this initiative because of their community. So I've got to line up everybody and see, is there a possibility that your conference will still embrace it?
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. Will the new
president so, excuse my tardiness, but that's the problem. $4 million is more important than all of you.
Can it still squeeze through as a member item?
Well, see, Senator Breslin, speaking of member items, just put in $25,000 for our financial literacy, which is another major initiative here, that we got a Berkshire Bank grant that was just, you know, about to be announced.
Yeah.
And that's in jeopardy, too. So depending on who and, you know, what's going to happen with member item money, God knows.
Yeah.
You know, and $4 million is really not member
item. No, it's never on. No,
it's more leadership.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, with Dean Skelos embrace this, you know, I don't know whether the Westchester program is kind of bordering on his district and if there's any Republican senators, because that's one of the target eight programs. So anyway, that's enough of that. Let's talk about what we're talking about today.
Right.
So, where are we?
Where are we? I won't even try. Changing the topic. Today, really, what we're trying to do is get a sense of the site, the SSW site, where it's going.
Do I have to look at it?
What needs to be written, what exists already, and what order we want to attack this in.
Great.
Those are the main things we're going to accomplish. Everybody got this, which Stephanie and her folks filled out, which is the basic information architecture we're going to work from. This is the current SSW homepage. This is the model for what it's going to become. And based on...
That doesn't say school social welfare.
No, it doesn't, does it? Not yet it doesn't, but it will. Based upon what you see in information architecture...
I've been looking at websites of other schools of social welfare, and there's one that has this idea, but only one that I looked at, really, and I think it's Michigan, maybe, I'm not sure which one, but it's great work.
It's a very good design, there's no doubt about it. Based on the information architecture, what you've got, this left-hand nav is what you see as the left-hand topic nav in there, so we'll have about SSW, school of social welfare, academics, admissions, faculty and staff, research institutes and centers, community engagement to support the school over here. They'll pick programs to highlight throughout. We'll write a statement that will have to go in there, which encapsulates, you know, a basic introduction to the school. Utilities will be in here. Those will be up there.
That's across the top,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's the audience based navigation, right? Across the top.
Up in here.
Yep.
But some of what you're seeing here, the Mayu Albany, the webmail, you know, up in the top.
And with the Google search, if they want to look at the site and all that.
Right.
Tabbed areas, we're talking about a news and an events tab and an announcement of profiles. Now, we only can fit four across. We're going to have to consolidate these somewhere.
And, you know, again, we did the, you know, how
no
much
problem.
Can you do,
right.
But from our perspective,
you threw in everything and it's
your advice.
Yep.
So, when you get to homepage content, 50 to 75 words, that's that right there. So, that's really the first task that you got to come up with is 50 to 75 words that encapsulate, that grasp a reader and will make them want to read more about what goes on at this place.
Just to back up for 32 seconds, we've got a dean who's very engaged. You don't know this, and he's 30 knows this, and the two of you. One of her probably biggest negatives is she's too wordy. One of her strengths is the word she uses, both verbally and writing. The more we can get her message in the fewer words, the better it is.
Yep.
But she will want a hands-on on this.
Mm-hmm.
I work with her long enough now, and I mean, she respects my opinion, but, you know, I can't make her do something, but I can serve as the conduit. So, Vinny's written for her, you know, in the past, and certainly has had the correct hands-on experience knowing from the articles and features. The most important message from our school, I think, is the passion and compassion and the community engagement. So, and I want you to downplay the welfare. The word welfare is ugly. I don't care what community you're in. Even the social work community,
sure.
People shy away from it because immediately the negative vision of you're on the take, you know, pops up and, you know, you don't have to be a social worker or a non-social worker. That's what pops up. So we try and lead not with welfare, but with the issues that are social welfare. So aging has been one of our earmarks. Because everybody can relate to it.
Right.
You know, you either got an aging parent, you're aging, you know,
right.
A friend who. And our aging initiatives are nationally and internationally known. So, what I didn't bring with me today and I left on my desk were the new magazines. The Center for Excellence in Aging Services now is putting out a new magazine centered around all their programs. Phil McCallion just got the Distinguished Research, whatever, award from the university. And he is probably our stellar faculty member on that. And so we can talk more about that. But the message, I think, you know, if you read this, this is like yuck. But if you read Catherine Breyer Lawson's message in the magazine, I gave you extra copies of that.
I have a reference for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get that over to our office. We'll
that more is the message. You know, it's more the passion, the vision, the commitment. So if we could take that kind of scenario, not this.
Okay.
And really pop it. That would be, and she'll edit it, but if you could give her even the first pass of what you think is the message, and I know Vinny, Jen told me that you looked at other websites to see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Our school is highly ranked. It's 12th in the nation. And scholarly productivity, I don't know, we're second. And, you know, so we have all these rankings, but certainly way up there. And our dean was... the former most recent chair of the National Association of Deans and Directors of Schools of Social Work. So our school is even catapulted higher because of that recognition, and our associate dean was head of the Society for Social Work Research, which is called SWERC, which is the other big national organization, and then there's a third one called Certified with CSWE, and Ricky has just chosen to be, that's an associate dean, as like on the list. So we have a national visibility that a lot of schools don't have because of our leadership on in national organizations, and then our academic scholarly productivity and research. But, you know, our school's going to reel this next year because of the budget cuts. We're losing key faculty. We cannot fill those positions. And a lot of our faculty that remains, you know, is, I don't want to say junior faculty, but not the faculty that we've historically had. So, you know, I'm really concerned about that, too, from an academic standpoint. But whatever. And
before we go too far into what needs to be written, talk a little bit about who it needs to be written for. Prospective students, certainly. But beyond that, people who give money, legislators, what's the breadth of the audience that you're looking to engage
here? The major breadth, obviously, is the academic part of recruiting students, sure, and the finest of students. So not just our undergraduate program is this big. So we are a graduate school, and the majority of our students, I don't, you know, the exact number right now is, you know, who knows what we're going to get in September, but it's around 300 plus in the master's degree program. In our PhD program, it's in the double digits, I think in the 30s somewhere, and our bachelor's program about the same size. Don't quote me on any of these numbers. So our focus is on the academic professional social work level. And from my perspective, you've got to have that research component there along with the professionalism. Our school this past year got over $27 million of outside funding for research. And so we are very, very highly regarded in that community, in the research community. Two of those grants are what catapulted that number. One is $16.5 million, which is a institute for really professionalization of the workforce. It's a national grant that I think it's six universities and something with the Indian group. And that's on the university's website as a press release right now. Historical. I mean, it's about 6 months ago, 7 months ago that we got that. And then the other major national grant was $2.5 million, and that deals with the voluntary social work workforce. Voluntary in that it's a, there are state and county and some places city-run, those are called public welfare-related agencies, and then there's the not-for-profit, like the Parsons of our community, is called a voluntary child care agency. So we're dealing with that voluntary professional workforce, and then the public workforce, which who work for the state, the county, and it's mostly state and county, very few cities have a public, you know, it's usually under the county control. So our professionalization academic training, it focuses on those two populations. As a result, most of them are returning students, or a good bulk of them. So people get degrees. You can be a child welfare worker working in the worst of the worst family dysfunction situations with a bachelor's degree in history. To be a county, a lot of people don't know this, to be a county, you know, say child abuse and neglect social worker working in the most dysfunctional families with drug and alcohol and possibly family violence, and the kids aren't fed, you know, abused and neglected, the mother's, you know, zoned out on crack, and the father's nowhere to be found, and, you know, their welfare ran out, and that, all right. And you have a bachelor's degree in history, and you make a home visit and say, hi, you're
working.
You
know?
Wow.
And there's a rat crawling in your purse. So when you think about that, it's a wonder that we don't have more tragedies. from the workforce perspective. You know, they're always saying then, you know, this ugly case is connected, you know, that child who was burned with cigarettes and peroxide and whatever, you know, and they're trying to blame the public welfare worker. You know, well, the public welfare worker has a caseload of 72 people. She has a bachelor's degree in history, and she made a home visit, you know, in 32 seconds because she had another crisis somewhere else. And the child was in the bedroom, and she didn't ask to see the kid and talk to the parent. You know, I mean, I don't want to make excuses, but, you know, and as a result, then, the worker doesn't have the skills. So what you find, then, is many people who really want to do this work and do it better then try to academically improve their professional level. And you want that same kind of credentialing for the supervisory staff who then supervise these history majors. Mm-hmm. So many people do return to school, and so what you see is some of our students are full-time and some of them are part-time. There are financial incentives I've worked on personally, this major initiative called the Jamie Watkins Scholarship, which provides funding through the counties to then pay these workers to become more credential, you know, better credentialed and trained. So the focus of our audience then is that population, the people who want more skills and obviously need them. So we want them to come to our school. We, as the core and basis of our academic training, it is community focused. Okay, one, because we care a lot about improving, you know, better practices in the community. But also, in order to learn to do this better, you need to be placed and trained in a supervisory setting. So the core of our academic training is field placement. And, you know, I'm not an academic, so I'm going to give you kind of my seat of the pants, but some of this may be not so clearly, you know, delineated to somebody who was an academic. Would speak to this, but our field placement is, I believe, 2 days a week, and it's under a supervisor who must be an MSW, all right, and so they're in agency then, getting hands-on field experience at the same time as the classroom. And then the second piece of our training engages people in specialized credentialing areas, and they don't get a special degree per se, but specialized training in aging if they choose to. And we've got an academic program that Vinny knows about, which is called the Internships in Aging. We were one of six schools chosen in the nation to develop this initiative, and now we're helping other schools do it. So not only do people then get academically trained in social work, but then a specialization in aging, and we give a carrot to those students, and we try and fully stipend them, but our funding is not as strong as it was initially, where they got $10,000 a year for the academic year to be trained then with a specialization in aging. And many people who can't come to the School of Social Welfare want to work with kids and families. That's where they're coming from. You know, I want to be, you know, a person who saves the world for kids. But when you waive this $10,000 scholarship and say you're going to school free, they'll go into this curriculum. And to me, I met with the review committee from Hartford who initially funded this program. And they were 3 years as a grant to they chose our school to do this specialized training, develop a specialized curriculum.
This is where?
At Hartford Foundation.
Oh, Hartford. Okay.
And so they provided us over $500,000, I think, over it was $375,000 and then another $50,000 to develop this initiative. And a student came to this kind of like evaluation of the program by Hartford when they were here and said, you know, when I came to the School of Social Welfare, all I wanted to do was work with kids and families. I had no desire. But when you said, if I get into this program, I'm not going to get this little check.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I've had this training and exposure, I want to do nothing else. So, you know, Hartford, I mean, I get goosebumps every time I repeat that, and you can tell my enthusiasm in repeating the story. This is 5 years ago that I heard this, and I still use this, because it shows that people may make career decisions based on their exposure and their experience and not necessarily their wish. So what we want to do is give a student, a potential student, that picture. I mean, the website now is what everybody uses. I mean, you know, I'm a non-technical person. And when I want to know anything, I go onto Google. And God forbid I spell it wrong, and Google doesn't know how to find it for me. And that's what happened to me yesterday. I was looking for a micro lending program, and I knew it was like Axion, and you know, and I just, you know, I was spelling it all these, and I couldn't find the program. You know, but that's what people will do. They might punch in School of Social Welfare's aging. So then our aging stuff would pop up. And it would be our school that we want a word that gets number one as the first Google search. So that population is critical. The parent thing is not as critical for us as the main university site. But there are parents. I mean, the other day I saw a woman walking around with her, you know, obvious daughter, you know, walking the hall. She was a social worker. You know, from the community, and you know, wanted to kind of show her daughter around. Potentially, was a new student. So yes, we do have parents who are professionals, potentially, you know, who encourage. But it's not the same parent population at the main university website,
especially with the returning student that you're talking about.
The second population that is critical to us is our community. You know, in the Capital District. We really care about our partner agencies. We care about the programs with the partner agencies. And I don't want to tell you that second is ranking, but it is, in my mind, more or less second. And they probably tie with the academic folks. So not only locally, but nationally in other schools of social welfare. So I see those two as our second tier folks, or maybe even competing with the first team. Because, you know, our faculty wants to be recognized. Our dean wants our school out there as, you know, one of the top schools. You know, she'd give her IT for the top five. You know, are we going to get there? But, you know. so anything that we can do to make the visual an academic as well as, you know, a professionalization and research image is critical.
Okay, good. That's great stuff.
I don't know. Am I telling you stuff you want
to
hear?
Absolutely. Especially for the next set of pages we're going to be... Understood. But the next set of pages that we're going to be talking about, and that really is probably going to be John's first assignment.
And I want her job.
I hear that. You know, the about the school, the why study is exactly what you just talked through. In fact, I'm recording this. I'll make the audio and available to you so that you know you can go back through it again and hear all of this, because that is going to inform a lot of the stuff that you were talking about.
Yeah, I think it's critical though, before we go to the next step, to do just a preliminary thing, this is required to interview with the dean. I mean, I really think somebody who doesn't know her needs to meet her. I really do.
That would be great.
Vinny knows her. You guys know her. You've met with her. You see her, you know, commitment, I think, and passion.
That's so enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Really?
You're going to get a lot of direction.
And a lot of words. I mean, she will hands-on. But that's
how we'll find the best.
With academia.
A lot. So I'm very used to that sort of thing.
And the magazine that I gave them to share with you folks, you know, I want to be critical and tell you it's not, you know, an academic tone, nor is it a literary tone. I think, none of it is excellent in terms of text, but what's excellent is the layout, design, the message. What we did with that, which I'm not sure is the right or the wrong way, and so I'm going to let you guide yourselves in terms of how to write this. Sometimes we can ask faculty, will you take the first pass and give it to us, and then we'll edit from there. Or we'll take the first pass, give it to faculty. But I know Catherine, okay, will want hands-on, right? And she may, in fact, want faculty hands-on. To get faculty to initiate is a challenge.
Sure.
And to meet a timeline is even more of a challenge. But I will serve as that conduit, and I, you know, I serve as both to Fred and Jen. I would be more than happy to police patrol. And I'm engaged with the faculty and recognized as, you know, kind of a pain, but at the same time, I know they get something out of it in the end.
Yes.
So it's not just an exercise but in futility, but an exercise in showcasing them.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say to them, I need 75 words for an e-news story, they know that I'm just asking to sit down and do something. Or give me, you know, 100 words and I'll edit it down to 75, you know. But, and I need it by, you know, February 12th. And then on February 10th, I send them an email and say, it's 2 days, I haven't seen it yet. Gentle reminder, now. You know. But, you know, they know me well enough that, you know, I'm happy to help them. So, ask questions.
So, really, before you start writing, next step should be sit down with the dean. Have John.
Half an hour.
Yep.
Yep.
Schedule some time. Is there a better or worse time for him? You know, I don't know what her schedule looks like.
All you have to do is send me an email. I'll look at her calendar. Now we're into the real, this is like the Senate.
It's like the Senate.
Yeah, right.
We don't like
this
I was going to be
below the Northeast again.
I got to tell you. You know, I was in the state legislature for 10 years. Okay. On the inside. In the girl field. Of Sink and Anderson. And nothing like this would have ever happened.
Nothing like this would have happened 5 years ago.
No.
This is unprecedented. There's no doubt about it.
Well, it's a leadership issue, so stay tuned. All right.
The lack of leadership shows.
You're recording. I didn't. You notice? I didn't say that. I said it's a leadership issue. So how about questions?
Go ahead. Oh, I could go all day. First one, you mentioned the top. You'd love to be in the top five. Who's in the top five now?
Oh, yeah.
Or roughly. I mean, and what do we have if they don't?
A search. Just put top five.
Top five social workers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we 12th in the category of social welfare? Is it social work? Is it it's a graduate program? Is there a graduate program in quote unquote social work? Am I wrong about that?
Well, the way the issues. So you don't want that one. You want the not the one that does the drinking. Here, top five post social issues.
Well, you're Albany right there.
Correct. But you've got one of scholarly productivity or something.
In scholarly productivity, we're second. So I'm
right.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
All right. But this is, don't do the. What's the one that was just quoted at the School of Business? That's the Princeton Review. Don't do that.
Oh, no.
That's the ranking. They're right at the top. Links.
That's the one we were on before.
Yeah.
Did you do the drop-down box? Right there?
I heard of this, the Gore.
The center with the...
Yeah, do the U.S. News. Is it U.S. News?
U.S. News is where we're 12, right?
Yeah, that was 12.
Well, I think my larger question...
See what Google does.
I know.
You can't find anything
US
anymore.
U.S. News in the, in quotes, in addition to that. No, leave top... Well,
go on to the university's website and you'll see it doesn't show all the other schools.
And as I recall, there wasn't a link from the rankings on the schools.
Maybe we'll link from that upper story to the U.S. News World Report rankings. So open that one.
Oh. Oh, this is a general, okay.
U.S. News and World Report. That's what you want, and you want the do the issue, and then it'll have all the schools.
We don't link to the News and World Report.
How can we not have a link in there?
Well, just do U.S. News and World Report.
Yeah, you can do that.
And it's graduate programs.
Yeah.
Ranking of graduate programs.
You just need graduate programs. If you do. Yeah. Yeah, all cats, you mean business.
That's graduate schools. Education. Best graduate school.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
Social sciences.
It's under a funny thing. What are you doing?
Social welfare, I think, isn't it?
And it might be under health. It's in a funny place.
Health, that's an interesting one.
Social work programs,
yeah.
That's it.
Nice.
Is that the funniest thing to find
in?
It's ridiculous.
All right, there they are.
Washington.
Yeah, they're a small college in
Wow. Oh, they're not that small. Washington and University's not that small, no.
Okay, drop it down. Now, we were 19,
but college,
we moved to 12.
Right.
Washington University.
I believe it's essentially a college, Washington University, even though it's called
that is
Michigan, Columbia.
Yeah.
Berkeley, okay.
Yeah, the usual suspects, University of Chicago,
that makes sense.
And Southern California, from an endowment perspective, has more money than it's got.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But they've got very wealthy people who live on there.
Now, I guess my other question is, from a competitive advantage standpoint, what do we have that they don't have?
Location and state capital.
Mm-hmm. That's critical.
Does he have our brand attributes?
No, he does not. He needs less.
No, definitely would love those. Location and state capital
is important because
that has to do with the community partnerships, yes.
Yes.
That's about all the agencies
but
right there.
Public-private.
Right.
Okay, you got to look at that perspective, which is one of the reasons I was hired, because I come out of government. Okay, I come out of private industry, which is business, and I was a social worker in the 60s. So
right.
I bring three perspectives to the school that they never had.
And it also,
a person like me.
It puts you in proximity with the agencies.
Right.
Yes.
The agencies.
The state agencies. And what we've done that's been so successful in terms of funding is we've got the academic, you know, research component, and then we have these public-private partnerships.
Yes.
So we could go to the state legislature for our elder program, which is now not live, but we're still involved in aging, but the elder network, that we used to call Aging Funding Communities, which you did
right,
in writing.
Right.
Okay, is that we got Hartford money, we got Hearst Foundation money. So we brought to the legislature over $1 million in aging funding and said to them, so where are you? I mean, aging is, you know, not only of concern to our school, it's a national concern.
Wow.
And it should be a statewide concern. And so we got $800,000 in funding for our elder network to build a lot of aging initiatives in the community.
Is that Hartford money done then?
Yeah, Hartford is spent, and so is the government money spent. But this is over the last 6-7 years.
Oh, yeah. No,
and
I just
we continue to get a lot of private funding and public funding on a national level.
Yes.
Because we've partnered, which Fred just said, with state agencies. We're very engaged with NYSOFA, which is the State Office of Aging for Aging Services. And so we've done collaborative grants with them to federal funding sources to then build a lot of our initiatives. And most recently, there's a big hoop-de-do on our website here about Healthy Hearts program that we kicked off in the Arbor Hill community. And that's a community program that has federal monies as well as state support, and we've catapulted that CDC, that's come in for that. So a lot of our advantage that a lot of the other schools don't have is our research capability, our stardom in key areas, with research, particularly aging, I keep going, and child welfare, professionalization of the workforce. Those are the two.
So for none of these or most of them, they don't do the level of research that you do?
They do, and I'm not sure, and Catherine could speak so much better because she is so competitive with the other schools, and on top of it, because she was chair, that's a question to ask her. I can't do the university comparison. I can do more the state focus, but I can't really get out there and tell you nationally.
Well, aging is one of our real strengths.
And now, the professionalization of the child welfare workforce because of this grant. And we had had for years what was called the Social Welfare Consortium. That's somewhere, should be on the website, which was the professionalization of the New York State workforce. But now we've taken that and catapulted that to a national scope with the 16.5. So, but we have a Center for Human Services Research, which gets a tremendous amount of government funding focused around social issues related to social welfare. And a lot of these schools may or may not have centers for social service research, which then brings in all kinds of government grants. Those aren't so much the private funders as they are the public funders. And they're mostly federal grants. But some of them are federal pass-through to the state or their state initiative. But you're not seeing a lot of now, quote, new state initiatives coming out because there's no money. The federal government still seems to have one.
And that all will give you a great opportunity. Jen will send you the branding attributes, but that will give you a great opportunity to tie in with some of them. So the hub for new ideas.
Right. Right. Yes.
New ideas in social welfare as
innovation,
well as
innovation,
right?
Creativity,
exactly.
And best practices are the two kind of words that are, you know, out there for the professionalization. You know, it's you got to know that if you're out there doing something, what it is that you should be doing to be the best in terms of affecting change or impact.
And this is the key. This is an Ocaron term in the
industry.
Everybody
knows it. Well, we're not an industry.
I'm sorry.
We're a profession.
Yes.
And I'm not academic. But yes, those are the best practices. Is kind of like the key, you know, word that everybody uses to make sure. Well, and you know, it's true. I mean, if you're getting paid for something and you don't know that what you're doing is the best. To impact, you know, this family that you're working or make a change. And for social welfare, we have two levels, really, of social welfare. We have the theory and the policy, and then we have the practice. So there are professional social workers like me who went to work in the legislature and did more of a global impact, okay, in terms of policy development and program development. And then there's the practitioner, which I was. I'm just using me as an example because I've had seven careers, but taken the basic knowledge that was built in my head around social issues and taken it to all kinds of levels. We've got a social worker who's one of our biggest donors, who's an alum, and we've really engaged her now. She adores the students, and we love her. She's become a personal friend of mine, interestingly enough, Catherine Sox, who's called the social worker with a microphone. And that's because she is a talk show hostess nationally.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, we've engaged her enough that now she's asked every 2 minutes to be the speaker because she's got a voice to knock your socks off, and her message is so sincere. But she's a true social worker. I mean, her roots are like mine. They were based in hands-on, one-on-one, but now she's taken it to a different level. Is she any less of a social worker than someone who's going into the dregs of society and, you know, having cockroaches climb in their purse, you know, at somebody's house? I'm using that as an example because I'll tell you about my first home visit. Social worker in the 60s.
Just a social worker. When she did that in her first case, she went into Albany and told me the stories. I'm like, oh,
Well, and I got
why are you doing that?
It's not your
way. You got to be committed. You got to want to make things better for people.
Yeah. And can I tell you, you're scaring me because I got a daughter who's getting that history degree right now.
Under the line, have you thought about social work?
She said, Dad,
you're not giving that suggestion at all. But Catherine Zox, you know, we had her do student dinners recently so that they could understand and see that you can take your career in a number of different, directions and work in a number of arenas and make the same kind of impact.
See, and I think that's an important message to get into the website is that it's not just one career. Right. That's not the only thing you can do with this degree. You can influence policy.
Yeah.
You can go out and become an advocate. You can, there's a lot of things that can be done with this career, and I think that's an important message. You can be a researcher.
That's an important message for me. You've got to be real careful because the academics don't quite go that direction. I go that direction because, see, I go out there and develop initiatives in the community. They like that.
Mm-hmm.
They like that.
Mm-hmm.
The academics. So we've got to be careful. We don't have to hide that image, but that can't be the sole image because it's more the academic hands-on.
Well, you're going to get that, but you're also expanding your horizons to so many opportunities. Exactly. So many other opportunities of the non-traditional. You know, when people think of a social worker, they think you're going out, you're getting cases, you're going into the slums of wherever, whatever city you're in, and, you know, going out there with, but there's also this part of it that people don't know about.
Well, and that's why I went straight from the field, okay, into the legislature saying, boy, the impact now that I can make in working for a member who was committed, you know, on choice.
Yeah.
You know, on child abuse, you know, and that's, but I would have never thought about that at age 21.
Sure.
You know, coming out of Berkeley, you know, when I was going to save the world.
Well, what's
in the 60s.
What I find interesting is that
a great job.
As a rank outsider, when I went through the website yesterday, I picked that up. The policy
really even as bad as our website is.
It surprised me because I still have that image of, I mean, I think of casework.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's the first thing that comes to mind. And so when I was reading that, I thought, oh wow, that's interesting. I mean, there are policy implications for this. I mean, obviously there are, but I never thought of going to school to get your MSW, to get your PhD, and as a vehicle for influencing.
Well, and that's why we brought in Catherine Zox so much this past year is because I, number one, believe that. And we'll draw then maybe another population that to me will broaden our scope.
Correct.
Because
exactly
of the state capital.
You know, right here.
We place students. I used to, because I was in the state legislature, need free labor. So I came, one of my first stops was the School of Social Welfare, the law school, to get students. And of course, the academics love this. And so I said, I'll supervise them, all right, but I need somebody who, one, can write, someone who has energy, commitment, that. And so I got students in field placements then with me for the full, and you know they're there for the full semester, and you know they're going to be there every Tuesday from, you know, 8 to 5, and Thursday from 8 to 5. And all I had to do was supervise their work, as I would any employee that was working in my office, and maybe write up a little ditty, you know, and or meet with the key social work liaison at the school, and I got free labor. And many of these people then, I went on to hire, if we had an opening, because now they've been trained in our office, they know the issues, they know the wrath of the legislature, and this is what happens, and this is, we've been able to recruit them state agency placements for many of our students, and we get, and this has been my job, the state agency then funded, so we've then, like with our internships in aging, we've gotten placements there at the State Office of Aging. We just got a second five-year renewal on that placement. We made a Pat Pine scholarship for the executive who died. She was the director. And so our internship and aging student goes there for the whole year, all right, as a field placement, 3 days a week in a state agency doing research and or impacting state policy for the aging as part of her internship or his. And besides that, the student stipend was peak. So we got a win-win. So I got $12,500, which pays for the supervisory capacity of our school, $2,500, and the student gets a $10,000 stipend. And it didn't cost our school anything. So I've done that in a number of agencies. That's been part of my job, to sell our program, and because of my state contacts and state knowledge, to then pay for those placements. We got Hartford to help us get a Hearst grant. It didn't hurt with George Hearst engaged either. We have one of the largest university endowments from the Hearst Foundation. Not the largest Hearst, but the largest endowment. I'm not sure now. I think it might be sick. But anyway, it's $500,000 from the Hearst Foundation, which in a good year supports full-time two students in this internships and aging program. So here's an example of the public-private. So here's a privately funded stipend for the same program. And here's an example of a public funded stipend. And State Office of the Aging, we've had the New York State Assembly, who's, we place students in aging committee, and gotten a stipend from there. So that's, and I think that's probably more atypical than, Berkeley is the closest thing to Sacramento,
right.
If you look there.
Which isn't all that close,
yeah,
really.
Yeah. So, bringing up and we've said that the reason we've been successful is our access, and we go to the state legislature all the time. And I remember our school, because of my relationships with people, and almost every year we've gotten at least one and or statewide initiatives. But if we weren't a block from the legislature, if I didn't have the access to these people, but we also say to them, we can be a resource to you. So we've engaged from a research perspective. Say the aging committee chair wants to find out about XYZ, and we'll call up Bill McCallion and say, do you have anybody, and we'll use our PhD students potentially then to start some initiatives that may not be funded at the outset, but then ultimately get there. So
I think that touches a little bit on another message you may want to make sure gets in there, is that you are a resource too. That you are a resource to the community, you're a resource to the state.
To the government.
Right. Yep.
To government.
Yep.
And I don't want to just emphasize the state, because we are very engaged on the local level, both with county governments. I mean, we are friends with county executives. We are in the county agency buildings all the time. Yesterday, Catherine was with the Rensselaer County head of, I think, child welfare, whatever it's called, and Rensselaer Social Services, whatever they're called. We work with Colette Poulin, who's the head of the Albany County Department of Children, Youth, and Families. So our engagement, and it's not just in child welfare, it's in mental health, it's in aging, it's in substance abuse, so all the social-related issues. And right now, we're into social justice and criminal justice with the ceasefire initiative. Why were we asked to do this potential grant that was not a grant, and now maybe is not a grant? because we have been viewed in the community as one and apolitical, which we are, that we've got clout and prestige. So, and we can do the academic evaluation piece, which to me is a critical core to prove that what you're doing is effective. And we're viewed upon as a friend of the community. And right now, and I'll turn off this tape recorder, please, but we're now trying to broker the relationship of this group with the mayor's office, because if you aren't all on the same page working in the same community, but there are people who are on this task force who are at odds with the mayor. The city police is another issue. I'm not telling you anything that's not in the news.
Right.
But because we're apolitical, we know enough to not take sides. We know enough how to encourage these collaborative community resources to the best advantage of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
This issue, and I'll just go back to it, really was catapulted in this community. I mean, there's been violence in this community, since, day one. But most recently, I don't know if you're aware, but Katina Thomas, who's this little girl who was killed a year ago, who just had the anniversary of her death, is what spearheaded this community outrage and wanting to do something positive. So all of these people who've been engaged that approached us, volunteering to make this happen, and not being paid necessarily by a state or a community source. So they came to us, though, because of how positively we were viewed, not only from an academic research mm-hmm. perspective, but from a community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you saw that, but here's mm-hmm. another example of why us. And because it's then a natural for us to just do the administrative, we're not going to do the service. Our school is not a service provider. I want to underline that. And we can never be viewed as providing service. We train and educate the service provider. And we help build the model program for the best practice. Or we evaluate practices that are out there to ensure they're the best practice. I'm making myself very nervous by talking like this, but I'm the spokesperson for the school. I am not. But I've been there for, 6-7 years now, so, a lot has rubbed off.
Mm-hmm.
And my enthusiasm has not waned one iota for what we're doing. I mean, please know me since the day I came here.
Thanks for calming down by now.
Well, because every year we've got something new to brag. I mean, Michael Parker, we feed him news stories every 2 weeks.
Yeah. If you're not excited about what you do,
don't do it.
If you don't like what you're doing,
right.
don't do it.
That's not doing really anybody any favor.
Your school probably feeds our news, as much as anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not because we've been to get the latest news story. Nano is driven, and I don't want to be critical, because God bless that.
You're on tape.
The academic institution of our academic institution has driven more, money and visibility to our university than we would have ever gotten, no matter how good our school social welfare is. But I think if you looked at our school and compared it across the board, we have a lot more visible issues.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot more that people understand and they can actually rally behind, whereas some other people have issues, but community members don't understand it.
Right, what is the
point? Yeah.
So they shy away from it and they gravitate towards.
Has an impact on lives.
Right.
I mean, I'd be looking at what you're. Because the people you're talking about, your core audience is. Want to have an impact on people's lives.
Yeah, whether it's alcohol, drug abuse, child abuse, mental health issues, aging issues, we want to make things better.
Right.
Our job is to make things better
mm-hmm.
for people, to impact their lives in a way that makes it better. It may not take it from here to here. It may only take it from here to here. But your ideal may be here, but your progress may only mm-hmm. be to here, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's what people have to accept, is for this person, that's maybe all they can do.
Mm-hmm.
Get up in the morning and make a breakfast, and go to work, and come home and support their family. And God, if you can, we're doing an exciting program right now, in fact, tomorrow. We've been successful in raising $2.6 million in private dollars to fund potentially a socioeconomic development proposal that provides microloans based on character rather than cash collateral credit. So we got a private funder right across the street, SEFCU, This is not public, so fingers crossed tomorrow we can make it public. That's another small initiative I'm working on.
Chris, again, that's a lights out over there, the legislature.
Well, no, the phone call tomorrow is with the tradition of the budget. And it's our third potential encounter, and the fact that they're still talking to us says we might get it. So what I've gone to the legislature with, along with the Dean of the School of Social Welfare, the Dean of the School of Business, that's who we approached our school to partner with us, and the Small Business Development Center. So this will be a university, in quotes, wide initiative. I will take credit for our school being the spearhead of this, but the three, you know, persons I've been ferrying around, we have met with everybody there is to meet with on this issue, looking for potential funding. We were successful on the private side, and now we're looking at government. And so what we're trying to do is get the government piece to fund the infrastructure, research, and program development. And we've got the private funder to provide the loans, so we don't need the loan money. But, you know, here's another example of our school taking the initiative to partner with another school who's been visible lately with a new building. God willing, you get the money for that. I mean, stay tuned. Right?
That announcement last week might be raising the pace on that one.
But here, you know, business and schools of social welfare don't partner. They don't.
Right.
Our school has been successful in getting banking money, and I'll take a little bit of credit for that. We got Citizens Bank to fund a financial literacy program. Thanks to Bill's expertise and knowledge in the financial literacy arena.
Citizens Bank.
They funded initially an aging financial literacy program. Mm-hmm. Then we got the state legislature to throw in a little piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, we've now partnered with Berkshire Bank. We just got a letter this week that we will be funded for the next 2 years, if successful the first year, with a $25,000 grant, which we then went to the legislature and tried to leverage public money for this. We will partner with United Way, and this is developing a toolkit from cradle to grave. This is one of the other small initiatives. And what that does is provide a toolkit to people on financial literacy. Everybody will tell me, how do you know how to budget? How do you know how to invest your money? Mm-hmm. How do you know how to open a checking account? And what do you do with that? How do you know about credit, you know, lending and making payments and if you default and foreclosures? So, without going into the details. So, but we don't have a toolkit from cradle to grave, right? So we went with this initiative to Berkshire Bank, who's a community-minded bank like Citizens. And, you know, obviously we wanted a $100,000 grant, but we're happy to take anything. So now the legislature, we have a $25,000 member item from one member and a $5,000 from another. But so they provided $30,000 in match to this $25,000. So now all of a sudden, you know, we're getting closer to the $100,000 number. It's enough to fund us to develop the toolkit and to help United Way then do some training and partnership. But so this is another example, though. You don't see necessarily that kind of stuff coming out of some of these other academic institutions, this community-minded engagement. And those like the University of California, they've got private money, but a lot of their private money is from individual donors.
Okay.
We don't have it. The only individual donors that we've been successful with are either very few of them, Catherine Zox is the rare bird, some community-minded people like the Buchanans, who we just got a brand new scholarship, but that was linking with the sponsored scholar program. So our donor base has done more around scholarships,
mm-hmm.
more than just to the school, here's my money and name this program after me.
Mm-hmm.
Because our alums are not wealthy as a whole, there are a few. So even though I was hired to do development, which I've never done in my life, I do not do major gift donors like some of the other development people here. I'm more a link and a product and program developer in terms of getting funding into our school. And we've raised that help the school to do is raise scholarship money because people like to give to it.
Well, they're helping students. So
exactly. Yeah. And so we've raised over $1 million in scholarship funding. Our goal is $3 million, but $1 million for a school is called social welfare. $1 million for the university here in scholarship funding is a lot. And these were from donors. Mm-hmm. And they continue to be supported. Yeah, some of ours came from tragic deaths. Of faculty members.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it's all private money.
It's all private. Okay.
Yeah, well, except for the internships and aging program, which mm-hmm. is the, some of those are public dollars.
Yeah.
But the other ones are private. This weekend, we...
I want to say private, not foundation.
Individuals.
Individuals.
Yeah, yeah. This weekend, we just held our fifth annual fundraising event in Rhinebeck. These women of Rhinebeck, the ladies of Rhinebeck, support our U.S. partnership in Africa and help us to fund 12-plus students every year to go to South Africa for 2 weeks. We'll now feature that story on the website of that trip. And this is an academic community program. Shirley Jones, one of our distinguished professors, initiated this program 9 years ago. These ladies have taken it on. She was in Rhinebeck. And I think they paid for the invitation. They paid for the orchestration of the event. They paid, donate auction items. We raised $20,000 at this in a little tiny bedroom community. But that's because of our commitment to this issue. We brought 4 students with us on Sunday, and you know, when you hear these students talk about, you know, one was took the trip last year and the experience that they had, you can't teach that in the classroom. I don't care what kind of video, whatever you use. That hands-on, being in Kenya or being in Nigeria or, you know, wherever, going into the community and learning about the social issues that impact these families on a daily basis. Show them a picture. It doesn't help the same as there. And, you know, it's kind of babysitting. You're taking 12 students, God willing, they stay in that group with you every day, every minute. You know where they are. And you provide them academic learning experiences. Mm-hmm. It's not just a trip to sightseeing. Mm-hmm. It's the hands-on. Then many of these students do become engaged, either in working with the program directly, you know, in South Africa, or building the kinds of programs that, you know, here in our community that are directed with, whatever. But, you know, so here's another. These are the kinds of stories that, you know, that if we were to have this website tomorrow, that trip, you know, which is going to take place in 2 weeks, would be a key story, you know, and you'd have pictures in Africa, you look at the magazine, that those 2 pictures of the South Africa trip tell the story. You don't even need any words under it. You know, you see these kids with our students.
Now we get some video this time, a little flip video.
You know, I was mad that Katrina trip that public health took was featured at that faculty meeting and not our student trip. So I was right in Michael Parker's face, and Michael said, we'll give the students a video to take with them.
Right.
Are they going to do that?
Yes. Okay. And we've done this Katrina trip now for 3 years.
Right.
And it was public health trip this year that was featured. We've never been featured.
But you have the cameras being given to the kids who are going to South Africa.
Oh, so you'll have that. That's fine. And that even can become fodder for the website.
Right.
Oh, that'll enhance
So this is, I mean, you hear me, you know, start talking about this stuff, I get so... but it's exciting.
Oh, you've got so much going on.
So much going on.
And you can hear there's so many ways to tell the story, to tell about the school and what makes it unique and actually sell the school. Do you have any other background questions before we start talking about where we're going to go from here?
Oh, we're going to do content now?
Eventually.
You're giving us the content.
Yeah, you don't have to say anything for a while.
No, background questions probably not. if I could, just
please
make an observation. As we talked about the advantages, the locations, the public-private partnerships, the research capability,
community engagement.
Yes. Well, I was trying to think about how that doubles back to what that really means for the audiences that we were talking about, mm-hmm. and. Actually, I came up with single words for this sort of thing. For students, and I'm saying, tell me if I'm wrong here. For students, this means opportunity. They get opportunity here that they absolutely cannot get anywhere else. And for the community people, it means that the school, my initial thought was the school is a partner, but even more than that, the school is a catalyst.
For change.
For change, yes, exactly. Exactly. But, to me, those are the benefits for the audience.
You can, mister. I'm so excited.
Oh, cool. Oh, cool. I'm glad. Good.
Use those words when you meet with the dean.
Okay.
Those will resonate magnificently. You get.
Yeah.
Keep
going.
That's all I got right now.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Good.
So I am glad with what I've said then, if you, that's your takeaway, because
yeah, absolutely.
That is the message.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm hearing over
so the opportunity, obviously you're not going to go for broke for $20,000, $30,000 in debt if it's not going to get you something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even though there is some target to the undergraduate community, you know, because some of our students are continuing, many of them may become advanced standing, you know, where they go right from undergraduates and they don't waste the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So they start then in June after they graduate in May and go into
right.
our. Because the sad thing is, finances are so important. At our university. And the good news is, you know, public university is a bargain compared to graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But some of the private schools can offer the stipends that it's really getting harder and harder for us. Our graduate assistantships are fewer and fewer. That's the master's level.
Right.
But we'll pay you to, you know, Xerox. And at the PhD level, I mean, the PhD students are looking for funding, you know, so they don't go into debt for their academic research.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many of them are successful in getting their dissertations funded, but that doesn't happen the day they start school, right? Their PhD pursuit.
Sure.
Our PhD students get incredible experience, one from the exposure and mentorship of the faculty, and our faculty on the PhD level really engage with the students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be in Phil McCallion's shop in the aging field and work on some of the initiatives that he's in is an incredible experience. You know, to have the expertise of, you know, Carolyn Smith, you know, who's our PhD, you know, regretfully, Ricky Fortune's, you know, husband died, Bill Reed, who was internationally known, you know, in his field. So the exposure to those faculty would draw a lot of our PhD students. And the opportunity, you know, here in the state capital, if they really want to do research and hook up with agencies, to do the research, because you've got a population and statistics readily available.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to a statewide population of 18 million people.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's going to give you the opportunity to build on your credentials, your educational credentials, your future. You know, but at the same time, if you have any social consciousness, going to give you the opportunity to fulfill that too.
And don't forget, we have a president right now from leadership capability who is pushing the social agenda, the community engagement, the volunteer is important. You know, AmeriCorps just got this infusion of stimulus dollars to knock their socks off to encourage people to be in a volunteer corps. It's like the Peace Corps, but it's here in our state, in our nation, for people to engage, and they get stipends.
mm-hmm. and volunteer work. So it's kind of like volunteer with carrots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before he begins writing, is there anyone else he should be talking to other than the dean?
Yeah, Phil Vicario.
Okay.
Okay, beyond a doubt.
Sorry, can you give me that name again?
Phil Vicario.
Okay.
Great.
As it sounds.
He will be accessible to you, particularly if you're just punch in Center for African Services. He chairs or directs our Institute of Social Services Research, which is the umbrella of their Center for Excellence in Aging Services, our Addictions Center, which has renamed now.
Mm-hmm.
You can get onto my. Let's just leave there. Okay, and this is, all right, so here's just the website. It's got too much going on. Guys.
We know. Don't worry, we'll deal with it.
Okay, but
he's on the radar.
Right. If you look here on the right-hand side,
mm-hmm.
these are all the center's main programs, okay? OASIS, RSVP, Excel Share,
mm-hmm.
Quadair doesn't exist anymore, Elder Network doesn't exist anymore, why they are still on the website, we don't know. I told you about the Internships in Aging program. All right, so the Center for Excellence in Aging Services is under his watch. He's the director of that. But that is one of the centers under what we now have built as an Institute of Social Services Research. So our mental health, it's called the Center for Innovation in Mental Health, our Center for Addiction Services, our Center for Excellence in Aging, all fall under that institute. So if you were, I should have brought you an email and sent this to you. What we've got is like a graphic which shows our academic here, our institute here, mm-hmm. and then over here is our community engagement. It's not updated, but at least it shows a map of the whole, how it all fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can provide that to us,
yeah.
That would be great. Yeah.
Let me make a note for soon, graphic. So, and you've got a website on here?
Yeah. Copy me if you would.
Okay. I think the magazine will give you the best sense of, you know, it's not current, it's a year old, but the best sense of the breadth of our programs. What's not in there, but at the end, is our international scope.
Right.
So we've got
a section on
another
that.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Let me underline what Fred said about the location mm-hmm. of being in state government. We are one of the few schools that have not only a local, a state presence, and a national presence, but an international presence. And we've got collaborations in Russia, we're in Peru, South Korea, China. Is it South Korea?
Oh, South Korea.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, and the students come here, and we have this exchange with a lot of the research that we do there. Africa, obviously. What have I left out? Well, in broad breadth,
right.
Internationally. I got Phil, Ireland,
yeah.
Holland. So, you know, our breadth, and this is not just kind of a trip for a week and then we don't see the end of it anymore. These are engagements that are continuing collaborations.
And that is a section that
Russia.
You have listed to do is
and
an international
Russia.
Component.
Yeah, and that to me should be showcased more than we've done. We've got a global partnership PowerPoint, which I can also send you.
Well, and that I would think falls into that unique competency. That's something all those other schools aren't offering too.
Right.
That's very
right.
true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That international component. World within reach.
So we had to get a global perspective.
Right, exactly.
But you could also put it up with the audience navigation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. International.
You know, call it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I know we did a program, and that was a conference held
where it was a university part of a major university command, and all the schools were asked to do some kind of program. So we did ours on global partnerships, and it was to engage parents and students in these all-day programs that the different schools have featured. And it was so interesting to me because who came to that, and there weren't a lot of people, maybe 20 or 30 that came, the parents and the students, were students who are not our social work students or even potential social work students, but were interested in the international programming. Mm-hmm. And a lot of students go to college and they want to do, a semester abroad or whatever.
Right, provide
a semester abroad life experience, but you don't go to school at that university, but you engage with the university and that community.
So, and where you travel, and that does link
into the world within reach and how our university is going to reach out and improve lives in those.
Anyone else he should be talking to, his background and perspective on the school? And I think what comes to mind is maybe someone from a student, that woman you introduced us to in your office.
The one who was the keynote speaker.
Exactly. Just to get a background on why you would return and what you see.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the best alums, though, right now that we have is Catherine Sox. Now, she is accessible, either in person right now or by telephone.
Part of this assignment is some profiles, too, you realize.
Obviously, want to profile her.
Okay.
I really think we should be profiling.
I think I wrote about her a little bit.
Catherine?
Yeah, you did.
So I can send you that.
There's a scholarship in her name now that her mother founded. And pledged, and now Catherine's a main contributor to it too, which is great. Charlotte Buchanan would love the visibility. She chairs our subcommittee on strategic partnerships, and just founded pledged to she and her husband a scholarship for Sponsor a Scholar, which is a wonderful community program that builds the potential for students who vulnerable and likely not to be successful to academically engage them in the high school level, mentoring, financial support, and then they provide financial support for them on a college level. And now what we're trying to do, and I just did a program with Bill Corbett at our university that was community-wide, to build then a graduate component into the Sponsor Scholar. But Charlotte and Charlie have been very active, in the Sponsor Scholar program, and so I thought it was a natural to propose a scholarship. And, for our school, Charlotte's so committed to our school, we do. So, maybe we want to feature them too. We had two key donors this past year.
You'll have to talk to the dean and think about that, who you want your profiles to be, three or four people that we can profile in this. Some of that might be good background for him. Where I'm thinking we need to go with this at this point is you've got a lot to digest from today.
Sure.
I'll make the audio available to you. You need to talk to the dean, and you need to talk to Phil and maybe some other people in the school.
Let her suggest who she'd like to. But I'm going to tell you from my perspective, Catherine is very inclusive. Mm-hmm. So she could tell you, I want you to talk to Henry
Fast. Right, okay. Yeah. So that's fine. If she can help facilitate that, that is good background. What is their perspective on that?
And we just sent the community engagement information to Miriam.
Yep.
That has every faculty member in terms of what we had to fill out the blanks.
Yep.
The same PhD student who worked to complete this to send to you in that for Miriam.
Yep.
We should probably take a look at that.
We're heavily involved in that project too, so I'll have that
information. So you can see who the faculty is and what they're doing.
Yeah.
We're losing, a couple of faculty members now, and tragically, Lynn Fedeca, who the current VP of
research.
And she's a former dean of our school and still a faculty member. So
going to be dean of NYU.
Yeah.
Have the others gone through retirement? Or?
No. Kathy Lewandowski is going to a small school, I'm not sure where,
to become the head of that school. She was the head of our Center for Social Services Research, Center for Human Services Research.
Oh, okay.
But the new chair of that will be Lynn Warner, who's currently the head of our Addictions Center, which is called something else, and we're going to fold the Addiction Center in with Social Human Services Research.
Okay.
So, and we can't fill those positions, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the trash for you.
So to keep
before the list, the next boom hits, you haven't, you couldn't fill it. That's amazing.
So to keep the project moving, because one of the things I know the dean wants to see from what she said is she wants to see this happen.
She wants progress.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to propose some things that we get done in the time frame for them. And it starts with you doing this background research, talking to the dean, talking to Phil, talking to whoever the dean thinks is appropriate, and getting the print material, absorbing all of that. But then taking a shot at drafting an opening statement for the homepage,
yep.
And then on this information architecture, what I would say, we can't take the whole thing on at once.
Right.
So we'll take it in bites. I would start on the about section where we've got about the university. You've got great background today, you know, plus what you're going to be getting. But about the university, the school at a glance, why study, mission, vision, values.
Right.
You know, that's going to be key.
By the way, I'm assuming, even though it said we need this written, I'm assuming mission, vision, values have already been created for the school, right?
We have a mission statement, right. Yeah, and you've got that in the, you know, it's one of these.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Is it on the site? The mission?
I don't know. I don't think I saw it anywhere.
Well, we can get it to you. I mean, it should be the byline of a lot of our press releases. Isn't it on the bottom of that too? About us? What about there? Is it not in there? History. Doesn't look like it. So, well, I'm sure Catherine's.
Well, I am.
It gives you a sense of the mission.
We are up for reaccreditation.
Okay.
And I think you want to speak about why accreditation is important, how it gives value to the new degree.
And so we have tremendous amounts of material right now on the school, because every time you go up for reaccreditation, you start gathering all this stuff.
As much as you can give to him
and
as background.
Jan Hagen is, and Ricky Fortune, who's our associate dean, and Jan Hagen, a very prestigious faculty member also, who's been with us for number of years, and she's the former chair of our PhD academic program. She, with Ricky, are doing the reaccreditation for our school. So they're gathering all of this from an academic, but don't forget, the focus of reaccreditation is on the academic component of the school, fulfilling all the requirements of the accrediting organization that you must prove you have in order to be a reaccredited. And that's true across the academic circles. And so the kinds of things that I might have spoken to in the beginning of, you know, my, you know, continuous dialogue with myself here aren't of concern to the academic. Right? They are, but they aren't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That doesn't get you reaccredited, the fact that you got research money for best practice.
Right. That's right. That's right. Whatever. But it doesn't get students in
the But you have to have that balancing act between both of them.
Right.
Right. And don't forget many of that underlying we are at. Academic
institution.
Yeah, first and foremost.
Academic school.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so our job is to educate, a person, but because we're a professional school, it's to professionalize the workforce.
So if we can get through the about section, the about page, school at a glance, why study, mission, vision, values, accreditation. Do you want him to take a crack at the Office of the Dean page?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it.
Do it. Okay.
Well,
you know, once I talk to her,
exactly.
Absolutely.
You think off the wall, stay tuned.
All of this, after you talk to the dean, she's going to give you a different perspective on all of this.
Sure.
I think you're a fan.
The field education, because that was mentioned today. Yep.
And that's a critical core to, that's why I made sure it was on there, a critical core to our training is the field education. And Benita Sanchez has done that program since day one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, you know, obviously talk with her, and that is a core academic program, and Reaccreditation cares about that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that, the experience of the student.
And then the international programs part. If you can get through that as a first take, then that, to me, that's a real good positive step. It really is.
Yes.
Because after that, a lot of things get to be very kind of cut and dry. What programs do we offer? What are the requirements? But that's the core, and that's a lot of what we've been talking about today.
Trying to find the site.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And really right on the website right now, you can look at some news stories, which are the key stories we've had the recent, you know, past. Don't look so much on news and events for our page because it doesn't work if LinkedIn is who have this discussion. They're on the university website and some of them are there and they're not in chronological or any other way. And the magazine gives you a good picture, all right. That case statement gives you the kind of vision of, you know, why it came to our school. I am deeply, deeply concerned that we do not have a donor page. Right? I don't know what happened to it.
You will.
It's right there.
You
it
will.
It's right there. It's gone. I don't know where it went.
You will.
And I'm not writing it again today.
Yes. Part of the assignment here.
Yes, yep. Somebody had to take it out.
So now the question now becomes when? What do we want to set as a next time to get together where we've got all of this and we can, you know, we'll have passed it among ourselves.
How soon can he get with the dean?
I'll get you in a meeting immediately. You need more than half an hour with him.
Can we target, say, the week after the 4th of July? Is that enough for a draft on this? A draft on that section that we just talked about.
Well, let's do increments first. Just real quick. He needs to meet with the dean and Phil in the next week then?
Yes, absolutely. That, I think, needs to happen within a week, yes.
Okay, so I am going to check.
I'm wondering that too. Do we want to be there? Does anybody, you know?
I know.
Who else wants to be involved?
I think it might be a good idea to have at least one of you, just from the overall brand perspective.
Correct.
That would be a good idea.
I'd agree.
You need me?
No. I need you to get a meeting with the dean.
I can do that.
I think
she'll be good if you were there.
Yeah, I want to keep her calm.
Yeah, I also think that you're.
You know her.
Okay. You know her, and you can focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I suggest a specific way of going about this, if we could?
Absolutely.
I think probably what would be most helpful for me is if before this meeting, I mean, we'll schedule the meeting, but before the meeting, you and I can talk on the phone or email or what have you about just an agenda for what we want to get out of the dean's meeting and have a meeting with Phil.
We have to know what the outcome is.
Yeah. I can generate questions, but I'd like to just have some discussion about what the agenda
is. All right, and if you could send that, then, once we have consensus.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to let you take the lead on it. Because I could make lists of questions for you, too, but I think, you know, if you're doing the writing, you need to know what you need to know.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know.
Right.
So if you could just kind of give like even an outline, not even, it doesn't have to be specific questions, but, you know, things I'd like to discuss are as follows. So even if you don't want to put it in question format, then she stays focused.
Right.
And then you can, as you go through the meeting, say, okay, we covered this, but we didn't talk about this, can we spend a few minutes? You don't need more than an hour to do this.
No, I don't think so.
You'll in 2 minutes be able to see her enthusiasm and commitment and her knowledge and expertise. She knows the area, she knows the school, she knows the direction she wants to take the school in, and she'll give you that message so loud and clear she'll almost give you the verbiage for your statement.
Right.
She's very articulate and, you know, and gets it. And you seem to get it from what we say. So that's a good compliment.
So, again, taking this in increments, first, you guys will you'll talk and develop an agenda for this meeting.
Right.
You'll circulate that among us.
Okay.
You'll set up a meeting with the dean and with Phil.
Yeah, and what
I'll ask her who else. But, you know, those are enough to initially start.
I think so.
Do you put them in the same room or do we do them separately?
Do them separately.
Yeah, I would
yeah,
do
because
separately.
It's a different focus.
Right.
Okay. And even though, I mean, Phil meets with the dean every day almost or talks to her, you know, I'm not going to say every day, but I certainly am engaged in a lot of what we do. But, you know, what we might not want to focus on right at the outset, and I'm suggesting this, is to do too much information loaded up front. So, yeah, you should be talking with Mary McCarthy and the dean about this $16.5 million Child Welfare Institute, you know, initiative. But, yes, you've got enough information right now on that press release. You know, to just feature the program. You don't need a lot of substance. You're not writing an academic.
I would fully agree. I mean, you can end up.
You'd be writing a novel.
We could interview for the next 2 years. I'm quite sure. So the other thing that I was going to suggest too is along a parallel track. If you all can gather the information that we talked about today, get it over to me, then I think what I can do is I can go through it and I can start identifying where there are holes that I still need to fill.
When you say the information we talked about, the
magazine
the graphic, the
case statement.
Yeah. The graphic I'll send you the PowerPoint. We have two PowerPoints on the school. Stuff is outdated.
Yeah,
so
how long ago did we do that PowerPoint?
Yeah. Well, no, it's been updated a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, okay. But that PowerPoint, the Global Partnerships PowerPoint, I mean, some of the stuff's a year old. You know, I mean, the problem is every time you do something, then it becomes outdated.
Right.
But I think the magazine is the most recent global picture of all these things I talked about today.
So
some of it's outdated, like our QuidDare program, which the drug research was a $5 million
grant. Oh, right.
And I just said up there, take that off the website.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Because it's 5 years old. You know, I mean, it was a 5-year initiative. It's old.
Okay.
It's gone.
Right.
So go ahead. We get you this information.
So I think you get me this information, and when I'm all done looking through it, I'll have a good idea of where the holes are.
Mm-hmm.
Or even better, it's possible that I can start writing soon and just use the, you know, kind of go on a rolling basis with the source material and say, oh, I'm supposed to be writing about mission, vision, and values, and I don't have anything. So that's why I talk to you folks and friendly emails and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that might be it. I mean, the other thing that I always like about web copy development is that unless you have an objection, we don't have to write the homepage, write the entire about us section, and then drop it on the dean all at once. We can feed her things as we go along, so she sees things are happening.
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
We can take some of the existing text, like you said,
that's
not so great right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just plop it in there, so we have a space holder.
That's true too. Yeah.
And edit some of the existing rather than create new.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm okay with that right now, just to get it up there. Let me tell you one other desire that I have, and of course the dean's going to have 75 other desires. There are two things that are critical for us in terms of community, you know, information. This is to our alums, to, you know, the community, is these kind of publications that we do and or e-news. I would like, and I saw this on, it might have been Michigan's website, I was looking at different e-news to see if there were any, and we at the university have this monthly e-news, which is from the alumni.
Right.
Have you seen it?
Not sure I've seen it yet.
All right, well, maybe you want to just pump one up. And I would like to do, see, I want this part of the website. That's why I'm making a deal about it now. So I want to add this, which is not necessary.
Do you remember the main?
Just look at alumni. Just go into Alumni Association.
Okay.
And then there'll be a e-news. Yeah, look at their website. It's not easy to find. It might be under news. And scroll down and see if you see anything that says e-news. Yes, there it is. Okay. So every month, see June 2009, and I want you to know this is the first month we didn't have a story. but they do University News, then they drop down,
keep going. And then they start doing schools and colleges.
Oh, okay.
All right, and they limit our stories to 75 words, and they do 40 gazillion stories, you know, for the different schools. They're obnoxious about what stories they'll include, so I keep sending stories, and they get rejected because they now don't want a story about a faculty member, so what? Unless it's a national notoriety story about a student, unless it's...
All
you
know,
No. This is Melissa.
Melissa, all right, so anyway, this is the first month I didn't get a story because she didn't want my story again. And usually I send her two or three. But I want to do this same kind of thing to our alumni. Our alumni get this automatically, but we're lost in here. So I think our school should do one quarterly. And I'd like a feature on our webpage, Fred, okay, that says e-news. So you link on it and you can get the most current e-news or, you know, historical e-news, you know, which will have featured stories. And I want to do minimum one story on, you know, a faculty, one story on an alum, one story on a student, and any upcoming events. So it's like, you know, everything in one page of that month. You know, and I want to do it quarterly rather than monthly. This is done monthly.
Right.
You know, so you don't flood people with it. And I want people to be able to sign up to get it. So this is a way to recruit alums' email addresses so they will get it.
Absolutely.
Right now, we have over 6,000 alums, and we only have email addresses for about 1,500. So they're less than.
Oh, wow, enough.
Yes, there's a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
So to me, having this e-news on the website allows people then to get the bullet of the quarter.
And this is a project we can talk about in the long run.
I want to put this up right away on our website.
Okay. It's something that we'll need to discuss because it's a little bit outside of the scope.
I need help with writing it.
Quarterly. Okay. Well, we have a professional writer here.
We really got to treat that as outside of the scope of the website. The website's one thing, but this is
but
a project in and of itself.
On there
we can arrange that. There's a lot of other issues that are related to what you're talking about that aren't related to the website. As a whole, and it's only going to serve as a distraction one from the other. We got resources we got to deal with, you know, the number of resources. But we will talk. Don't let it drop off the radar.
You know, it's like doing another magazine.
It is. And that's what worries me. It's a parallel project. It's not the same project. Right. It's a parallel project. Right.
And I know
we're going to have a profile section in the website. The same people are going to.
Right. You're going to be using a lot of that content. But anyway, I want to get back, because we got to get moving on this, where we're going to go for our next meeting. What's going to be the next set of deliverables, or the first set of deliverables from this? And you were talking about, yes, getting stuff and starting to write stuff, but where are we going to set up, what are we going to set up as our first set of deliverables for this? And again, I go back to the about section. If we can get
that developed, and the homepage.
If we can get that developed, then we can start taking and putting stuff up.
Right, we can...
And putting in the academic content behind that, because that's there.
Right.
You know, that's what courses you offer, what programs.
And the field placement.
Right.
Oh, the stuff that's not going to change. Like. Yeah.
But we can start building out a site once we have this about. Right. And I think that becomes the first set of deliverables that we work towards. And it really is what defines the school and is the picture that you paint of the school. So, again, I go back to what's a reasonable time frame for this? You've got to meet with the dean. You've got to get all...
Even the field meeting can be within the next...
I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you need some time to do drafts, you know, and figure out what you need, what holes you've got, as you say. I don't have information on this. I need more information. And then third, okay, circulate among us the first draft of the copy before it goes to the dean.
Right.
And then get our input.
So what are you doing? This is STEM.
Let me ask you this, going the other way,
okay.
From the design, the development, the coding, what
I can put pages together today. I have content. It's the content that's missing at this point. The design is relatively simple at this point. We need pictures and we need some things like that, but you know that's easier to get than the content and the
content driven
writing of our website.
If we meet Dean and Phil say early to mid next week,
the website,
there's no reason. You're gonna give me information before that. I don't see any reason why we can't start. Why I can't start writing almost immediately after that. So the homepage, it'll take a little time to think about, but. In terms of getting it out on the schedule, that should be a matter of, I'm hoping, no more than a few days. And then I can just keep
going. Today, at 2 o'clock?
Doesn't give you time to put an agenda together.
No, that's why I was...
an agenda with you right now for 5 minutes. The only hour she's out of town. Okay.
She's out of town, right?
End of this week. What about next week?
Sure.
Early next
week.
What about
Monday
or Tuesday?
If we can schedule the week after the 4th of July, that's basically 4 weeks.
4 weeks should be plenty.
We got enough going between now and then.
Good.
You were going to rush yourself.
What about potentially, but it's being held for a conference call 3:30 next Tuesday?
Perfect. I'm wide open both days. So.
Is she going to that? Okay. We'll do 2 to 3 next Thursday. Okay.
Wednesday?
Yes. 2 to 3. All right. And John Backman, and I'll give you a contact phone number. How are you on that?
I want Vinny there. If you can get the time. Because you've got to edit this stuff.
Yeah, you
got
it too.
To be where? At the meeting?
Anyone's website?
Do you see a value in being there?
No.
Okay. I can tell.
No, really? No.
Okay.
The email address is John B.
The direction is a little bit
at back white. Back white, sorry. BACKWRITE.com. And the people at that meeting will be me. Jen Caron.
Vinny,
are you here?
No.
Put me in, and one of the two of us will, at least one of the two of us.
Caron.
Well, and put your tape recorder in there, too.
And Frank Doyle. Well, it is, I make it with a French pronunciation. Caron.
She does.
like Leslie.
Like Leslie, yeah. It's like the same, isn't it? Isn't
that
C-A-R-O-N? Yes, I'm sitting with all of them.
She's
right
one
now,
R. So yes, she's one R. Are you one R?
I'm two R's, and I inherited this name. I was O'Neill. It was a much cooler last name.
Yeah,
you got
CCI.
I know. 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
that's
it.
No, you'd better.
Okay.
Steal it from
me. All right. Would you like this to Phil? Bill,
can I ask?
Yeah, thanks.
Call Terry.
I'll try and do these.
They're meeting upstairs.
I think it's upstairs.
Hi, it's Jen.
Vinny, your pen's not.
Hi, can you do me a favor? Fred and I have an 11 o'clock today with CCI, and I think it's up in UAD 320.
Actually, I got it delivered.
Can you run up there at 11 and just let them know we're running about 5 minutes behind?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
I think you're right about rushing on the front end, because if we take our time on the front end, I do this all the time. I allow myself all kinds of time for writing, and then I realize,
they'll be much more back and forth on this, and I actually want to encourage that. In other words, show early drafts to Vinny. When you and Vinny feel it's good, circulate it among this group. And then when that's good, now we go out to the dean. So there's a lot of back and forth that he's back.
That's perfectly fine. So basically, Vinny, then marketing, then
school.
before or after her meeting.
Once we're sure it's good, now we bring it to the school.
Fred, can you
or Wednesday at 3 p.m.
Email addresses.
We will come to
I'll make sure you have everybody. Everybody in the room here.
What's the protocol? Is it Fred.Doyle?
It's at Doyle.
Oh, it's at Doyle. Okay.
At UAMail. I'll send you everything.
Yeah, but send me an
email.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then he can just reply to all.
If your recorder has an email address, send that too.
I live and die by this thing.
Here's what I've done is I left a message for Phil for either a 1 to 2 or a 3 to 4. So if you want to hold that, so you don't have to make two trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll reinforce that it was a voicemail that I left him with an email.
And it's your spiel.
Okay, so that's Wednesday the 17th.
Go ahead.
Okay, and I will, a week from tomorrow, and I'll bow.
I'll just blow it up.
And
I'm not
me,
but...
I'm going to give you a couple phone numbers.
Sure.
Friday morning, potentially you can call me at 479.
Okay.
3556. Or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
A.M. in my office. Okay. And if you want to send me anything on email, and of course I think I change courses in a flow, and my business cards are not here. Email address is swapold.
I'm actually going to send him something with everybody's email.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about it. What we talked about...
And then Phil's then, and mm-hmm. the dean's too.
Okay.
Okay, great.
What we talked about while you were setting those up was a little bit of a schedule. He's going to circulate first draft to Vinny. Vinny will then weigh in. Then he'll circulate among us. And when we'll weigh in on what he writes. And then when we're all happy and ready, now it'll go to the dean. And I'd like to have that come through us and be pretty much ready to go to the dean by the week after the 4th of July.
Oh, God, she will love this.
That's part of my job, is make sure this stays on track.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. And if you want me to weigh in at all prior to, I'll just give you my knee-jerk reaction, but I am not going to be the decision-maker on this. The dean will want a hand.
But we want you to weigh in before it goes to the dean, because
you'll know.
This is a buzzword. Mm-hmm. Don't say that, or, you know.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
So, and you can feed us bits and pieces. It doesn't have to be the whole thing, as you were saying. Sure. It can be, you know, sections and all of that.
Sent the meeting request, and I was just typing it in my BlackBerry.
So, that's what we'll gear for. We'll look to set a meeting up after the 4th of July. And at that point, we should have copy on that first about section pretty close to ready to go to the dean.
Mm-hmm.
We'll discuss it, and then we'll talk in that same meeting about what's the next set of steps. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to do the film meeting, and I'm going to send the PowerPoint on the international,
okay.
And I'm going to send the graphic.
And the case statement.
That's
coming from. Oh, okay.
If you want to have my UAB right now, I can.
We can get
it. Show up for email. I have the text of the case statement and the magazine. Take a look at them first in hard copy.
Okay.
So if you want to use any of that text.